Hello and welcome to the 12th edition of Exploring Enterprise, the podcast series from the Enterprise Research Center. I'm Professor Mark Hart. I'm Deputy Director of the ERC, and today I am pleased to be joined by Liz Barclay, who is the Small Business Commissioner for the UK, just a year in post now of this. James Blackman, who is Managing Partner at Cookin FX Media, a digital design agency based in Birmingham. And Nicholas Hardman, who is a Team Manager at Business Debtline, a charity that gives free debt advice over the phone and online. Now, we had this podcast booked many weeks ago, and I think it's taken on a slightly more urgent sort of characteristic since we had our fiscal event, mini budget, call it what you will, on the 23rd of September. And I really do feel that we need to understand exactly how we're going to work with small businesses, work with the support agencies, and work with you, Liz, in terms of, you know, advocating the issues facing small businesses and what we need to be doing about that as a public and private sector response. So in terms of the context of all of this, we know from the work that we've been doing in the Enterprise Research Center that the costs of doing business for small businesses have been rising very rapidly, 4% in the first quarter of 2022, just over 4% again in the second quarter of 2022. And obviously, since that quarter has ended, we're now looking at, you know, moving into the final quarter of 22. And if I can use the expression, all hell is broken out. So I think what I want to do, first of all, James, is turn to you. You're running a small business right now. I want to sort of give us a sense of what it's like at in the front line, in the trenches, tin hat on, trying to actually keep your business in survival mode, if not in growth mode. So over to you, James. Give us some reflections.
Thank you. Yes, I'm James Blackman from Cocoon FX Media, digital marketing agency based in Birmingham. We've been going 12 years. I'm also former chairman for Litchfield and Tamworth Chamber of Commerce as well. So to answer your questions, how's it affecting business? It's basically you can't plan. There is no way of planning to what's going to happen. We're noticing an impact slowly. Traditionally, marketing always is a little bit behind to what's actually happening in real terms. So we're starting to see the changes happening through from July and early part of the year, but we're noticing a drop off in new inquiries coming through. In fact, we were just talking earlier today that September's unusually quiet, because this is normally the time when new businesses start up. People wanting websites, looking at their marketing for Christmas, etc. And we've noticed that's not drying up, but slowing down, but quite rapidly. Also, a lot of customers questioning where their budget's going as well. So they're getting more demand, not demanding, but more conscious of what they're actually spending on. The big impact for us will be late payments. We've started to notice that slipping. We had that pretty much as under control as it could be, but it's starting now to move forward. But we're noticing some strange things that have been overpaid, doing a couple of months in advance, which I think clients are looking at where they got money now and preempting that they may have a cash flow issue maybe in November or December.
So what they're doing, James, is rather than actually postponing the job, they're just trying to make sure that they do have a call on your expertise and services.
Interesting. Yeah. It's because in essence, in some cases, what we're doing is business critical. So if we switched off one of our services, basically they'll get no revenue, no sales through their e-com sites, for example. The big impact we're going to hit, which thanks to Friday, is software costs. All of that's going to go up by potentially 20-30%, maybe more. And that's just because of exchange rates. Dealing with MPs before, they don't understand that for a micro business or a small business, a 1 cent or a 5 cent change on US dollars can have a massive effect. So we're waiting to see what our software costs are going to be, because all the software is in either euro or USD. Nothing's in pounds, and it's always pay on demand as well. So we don't have the luxury of waiting 30 days to pay. We have to pay it on subscription. The other things we noticed is we're 100% remote working, so the cost of energy doesn't really affect us so badly. But using public transport and actually taxis, we use quite a lot of taxis to get locally where we can't get to via train. We've noticed that they've doubled in price. So even if we're looking at just going down the road to Tamworth, which is 10 miles, less than 10 miles, it could cost us 18 quid one way, where it used to cost us 8. And then likewise coming back. So a visit to a client face-to-face could cost us 40 quid. If we're charging £85 an hour, for example, that's a lot of percentage of that hour taken out of our profit margins.
James, on that point of working from home, I mean, are you getting any commentary from your staff to say, hang on a minute, if I have to work at home through the winter, I'm going to be paying more money in energy?
No, but it's... It's I mean, we've got quite a weird diverse team. We've got someone over in Norway, so he's not so bad. But we get a little bit back from working from home through the government with claiming back that allowance, but it's not going to be anything near it. But to be quite honest, if all of our equipment's A-rated anyway, so the cost and the draw on electricity isn't a lot, but the heating is, that could start to have an effect.
I'm interested in your comment about you're not able to plan. So what sort of things are you postponing at the moment or you're hesitant to make decisions on in terms of...
It's simple things like investing in new technology, upgrading equipment, potentially employing. If we had enough revenue coming in, our aim is to get more people on board. But if there's nothing coming in, we can't look to do that. And if we did expand and we needed offices, even if you went into a shared office, the prices are going to go up on that because I'm sure the landlords are not going to take a hit on the electricity bill and gas bills when that comes in. So from that point of view, it's like, well, we're back to where we were in COVID. We're in lockdown effectively with no support, which is the big thing.
Well, we'll come back to that towards the end of our discussion in terms of what businesses like yours actually needs. And Nick, I'm going to come to you now in terms of the operation of the business deadline. I mean, obviously, I would imagine that, in terms of the number, the volume of calls coming through, that is perhaps you've seen an upward trend as the year has kicked on, I guess, that will probably intensify as the weeks and days continue. So, Nicholas, just give us a formal introduction about the work that you do and give a sense of what's happening in the current situation.
Yeah, thanks. Pleased to be here. So thanks for having me. So I'm... Quickly, a little bit about me. I'm Nick Hardman. I'm a team manager at Business Debtline. I've been at Business Debtline for about 13 years. Business Debtline is a UK charity that gives free, it's the only UK charity that gives free advice to those that are self-employed or who run a small business who are dealing with whatever financial difficulties they may have. So any debts that they have, we can give advice on how to deal with those. I think it's fair to say that it's a bit of an understatement to say our lines are very busy. I mean, we're inundated with calls at the moment. I mean, this year we've seen about a 26% increase in calls from last year, and that was just in the first 6 months. So that's before any of this really kicked off. We were already seeing a big increase in our calls simply due to the fallout from the pandemic. And that wasn't really allowing for the obviously the energy crisis that's hit sort of from quarter one onwards. And we're seeing an uptick again in the number of calls coming in and calls more about things like increasing costs and energy costs. The focus really being on that at the moment. And that's on top of all the issues that businesses are still facing from the pandemic, which is still going on. I was really interested with James saying about the problem with planning. because that a lot of what we do and a lot of advice that you're trying to give to any client when you're trying to deal with debt is exactly that. You need to be able to plan, because to make any sort of arrangement with a creditor, whatever that debt might be, you need to have some sort of idea of where your business is going, what your turnover is going to be, what your profit might be, to make any sort of long-standing arrangement. And that's really, really difficult at the moment. It was hard enough when we came out of COVID, and now with costs going as they are, it's even more difficult. So businesses are struggling with all sorts of things, like, you know, lease arrears, energy arrears, bounce back loans that are now starting to be repaid. It's almost like the perfect storm.
Nick, can I ask you about the type of businesses that you're now dealing with compared to perhaps pre-pandemic or during pandemic? Are there different types of business, particular sectors, particular size of business? Is it the self-employed, or is it micro businesses, or are you finding it's even larger businesses coming for advice?
I mean, generally speaking, Business Debt Line is there to serve micro businesses, you know, small to medium enterprises. Predominantly, it's the one-man, two-man bands. That's what we tend to get. Okay. But you know, in recent months, you know, we have started to get calls from larger businesses as well. Mm-hmm. But it's, in terms of sectors, it's a real... that you historically, again, just for anecdotally, you know, from my own experience, we used to get lots of calls from builders and pubs and things like that. The last few months, it's been a whole mishmash. You get calls from all sorts of different businesses now. And it's across the board. Everyone is struggling. There's no sort of geographical emphasis anywhere. The whole nation is struggling right now.
We know insolvency figures are rising in the last few months. I mean, is there sort of advice that you're actually saying to businesses, related to your point about not being able to plan forward given the uncertainty at the moment and the volatility, is it a question of, look, you know, filing for insolvency is probably the only route to
sometimes? Yes. I mean, again, the idea behind the service is ideally we want to try and help businesses to continue to trade. That's the general consensus. But yeah, there are occasions where you just have to accept the fact that insolvency, whatever that might look like, whether that be personal bankruptcy or limited company liquidation or strike off or something like that, yeah, that might be the way forward. Just to try and help that individual out of what, you know, whatever the situation they're in. So we do discuss insolvency, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And we in the research centre, we do a lot of work on employee wellbeing and mental health of business owners as well as staff. I mean, is there anything there that are you signposting people? Are people really become a little bit more, they're suffering from their own mental wellbeing?
Absolutely. I mean, again, you know, my own experience when I first started with Business Debt Line 13 years ago, we'd maybe get one or two clients a month who might quote mental health issues. This year, you know, 29% of our callers now are quoting mental health issues. So a massive uptick in mental health issues. Our advisors are fantastic. You know, they're very well trained, but they're not Samaritans. You know, they do the best that they can to try and help someone who's in trouble, and they'll signpost them to GPs and people that can help. But you know, even for our advisors, you know, we have to consider their mental health as well, because they're dealing with very difficult situations. Very often the calls can be quite distressing, clients can be distressed. So yeah, part of my role is to make sure my staff are all right as well. But yeah, we've a huge increase in the number of clients who are citing mental health issues. Depression, stress, anxiety. Yeah, it's a worrying time.
Thanks for that, Nick. Liz, I'm going to come to you now. I mean, obviously, you've been involved in a lot of issues about small businesses. We had an interesting sort of almost weekly conversation through the COVID pandemic with the podcast that you were leading on. But you're now in your former role as the Small Business Commissioner. I mean, there's long-standing challenges. You've already heard the issue of late payment. I mean, that's something which has been a crusade for decades in the UK. But what sort of issues are you now beginning to turn your attention to and you're hearing about trying to sort out some sort of, or have a conversation about, make sure that we actually can address some of the issues that Nick and James are talking about?
Mark, my remit is really tight, and it is round about late payments and changing the payment culture in the UK. Now, whether or not we're talking about late payments, as in late overdue invoices, or extended payment terms offered to people like James for the work that he does, that, you know, gets lumped together as late payments. So I'm trying to unpick some of that. But I think definitely what we are seeing is that average days to pay, which had, to be fair, shrunk during the pandemic, is beginning to stretch again. So we're looking at around about the 36 days on average to pay. But of course, averages hide all sorts of bad behaviour, and you can see 60 days, 90 days, 120 days offered as payment terms for a piece of work. I've even seen up to 360 days. Now, you cannot wait a year to get paid. James and I have had conversations about how he's dealt with and got his average payment days down over the years by being brave enough to push back and say, I won't be here in the 120 days if you don't pay me quicker. Yeah. You know, so it's small businesses can negotiate and sometimes don't realise they can't. But it's never been more important than now to get payments to small businesses as fast as possible, as quickly as possible. You're talking about small businesses with fewer than 50 employees. Now, they are 50% of the growth in this country. They are 50% of the employment in the UK. They are 75% of the innovation, and always have been, in the UK. This is a really important sector that is too big to fail. And everything that James has said rings bells with what we are hearing. Everything that Nick has said, and I have worked in a previous life with Business Debtline forever, and I've been a debt advisor myself, and everything that Nick is saying is just ringing true. The mental health issues coming through, the sleepless nights, partly because you're not getting paid on time. So we need to see the big guys step up and nurture their small businesses in the supply chain. Otherwise, they're not going to be there the next time they look. So all of, you know, all of the costs of doing business, the materials, the software that James is talking about, the energy prices, the transport, the face-to-face, you know, going off for a face-to-face visit and facing taxi firm, you know, taxi bills that are twice the cost, all of those can't be met if you haven't got the cash flow. And your cash flow is, in a lot of cases for small businesses, down to getting paid by your big customers. Because we're also seeing small businesses finding it increasingly difficult to get to borrow anything from any lender. You know, being told, run up your overdraft, run up your credit card bills. A lot of them are turning to borrowing from friends and family just to survive, in order to take, to pay the business bills and hopefully take a salary home to pay the household bills. And we are seeing households struggling with the cost of living, same businesses, same people as are running small businesses and struggling with the cost of doing business. So it's a perfect storm, as Nick points out.
But I think, Liz, I mean, you talked about during the pandemic, there was a sort of a reduction in the number of payment days. And let's talk about the tight brief that you've got. I mean, what was that? What was that due to? And are there any lessons we can actually take from that in terms of perhaps educating large and medium-sized businesses?
Yeah, I do think the large businesses are changing, and I think they changed during the pandemic. I think it was a huge realization that if you didn't pay your small supplier of loo rolls, there weren't going to be any loo rolls on the shelf to sell on to your consumers.
Yeah.
You know, and also there was an appreciation of the fact that if you didn't pay on time and your competitors were paying faster, people would work for your competitors.
Yeah.
We also saw about 750 freelancers leave the job market during the pandemic. We saw a lot of over 50s not come back to the job market after the pandemic. So skills are in short supply. Lots of small businesses are not able to ramp up and grow as they hoped to do after the pandemic. They're not able to build their reserves again, so they haven't got anything to dip into if you don't pay them on time. So there is less competition almost for the big guys. It's harder for them to get a supplier.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the skills shortage, but also at that end, there's a supplier shortage because the suppliers can't get the skills. And if that's the case, then one of your USPs may be paying much more quickly. Now, we know that we've had conversations with big businesses that have gone to their boards and said, look, we need to improve our payment practices here. We need to pay our suppliers along the supply chain more quickly. It will cost us a lot of money to do that. And in cases of some big businesses, you're talking into the millions here.
Mm-hmm.
But the boards have said, yes, we understand, we get that. It's about ethical behaviour, treating our suppliers well. It's about our reputation. But ultimately, it's about being able to carry on doing business and having the right suppliers in the supply chain. Go ahead, spend the money. Now, those bigger businesses are then saying to their suppliers, we will pay you in 30 days. The suppliers are saying, that's great, but you know what? We're not going to be here in 30 days. Can you please pay us in 14? It is beginning to tighten that much that small suppliers are now pleading to be paid in 14 days, 7 days. And it is possible for a lot of businesses to do that because they put processes in place during the pandemic, or they have the processes in place. But there are still a lot out there that haven't looked at their payment processes and haven't got the capacity and still have the kind of approval systems that take forever. So we need to get through to those bigger guys. Come on, you know, nurture your supply chain, look after it, because it's not going to be there when you need it.
Okay, I'll come back to James and just to reflect upon that in terms of the discussion you're having about payment terms. Can you sort of pick up where Liz has left off there in terms of talking us through your experiences with some of your better customers, if you like, and what sort of discussions you've been having?
Yeah, I mean, it's taken a while to get a lot of the clients to pay on time, but the ones who pay on time are often not the smaller customers. We have some customers pay as soon as we raise the invoice, it's paid within a couple of days. And to them, it's quite a large amount of money, but they know it's key for the service. But with the larger companies, we've had all kinds of fun and games trying to get paid. And a lot of micro businesses and small businesses, all it takes is one or two invoices to be paid late, and that will destroy your cash reserves. And then you've got to then spend 2 to 3 months to try and rebuild those cash reserves up. So then you've got to work 3 times as hard with limited resources to get that information in. So, sorry, Liz, you...
But James, many small businesses don't have any cash reserves left because the pandemic sucked all the cash reserves out. I mean, I think we factored in during the pandemic, and Mark, you may remember the discussion, that most of the small businesses had run through their reserves in the first 6 months. A lot of them don't have anything to dip into either, which is why I'm constantly saying it's even more important than ever that you pay faster. Because if you can't dip into reserves, you can't borrow from friends and family, the bank or any other lender, then you're stuffed, you've gone.
Well, with that in mind, it's most businesses are saddled now with the bounce back loans. I think most businesses are more concerned about that. That will be here with us for the next 10 years, for example, because no one's going to sort of want to pay that off as quickly as possible because it's another expense. So, but just going back to how we tackle it is we have very frank conversations with our clients about if they're getting later and later. I just put the emotional blackmail back on them. Would they want to be paid their salary in 45 days, for example? It comes down to that. And a lot of these FDs and CFOs don't understand that. They don't understand that a micro business is literally the money comes in, it goes straight into wages and paying suppliers. There may be a bit there for profit. Hopefully there is. That profit builds up. Then you've got to pay your tax, your pensions and all the other bills. And if you're continuously eating away into your overdraft or into your cash reserve, you'll never actually see that money come through. And it comes down to ethics. And the younger generations will be looking at future employers and thinking, well, if they got a bad name paying their suppliers on time, for example, do I really want to work for them? Or they get into business and find out that they're paying 90 days. And it's like, well, crikey, that's a lot. And there are industries which are very prolific in that, as particularly the logistics industry. They will take payments in 30 days from their clients, but won't pay their suppliers until end of month 90.
Yeah, indeed.
And that's hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of money. And those will be truckers, van drivers, small transport companies as well. So it is an ethical change and a mindset change, but it needs to happen.
I mean, if you think about invoices being raised at the back end of September, most large organizations will say, well, we'll put them in the system October to be paid at the end of November, if you are lucky.
Yeah.
But Mark, I always say to businesses, look, you wouldn't walk into your butcher and order your Christmas turkey and say, I'll pick it up on Christmas Eve, but I'll pay you Easter. You just wouldn't do that, would you? But I think James's point about the FDs of lots of bigger companies not understanding how a small business works is fundamental to this. I think it works both ways, because I think there's a lack of understanding in small businesses to how big business works. They don't understand that an FD has possibly never run a small business or worked freelance or a sole trader themselves. No. So they think that the big bill, the big invoice that's coming in for £30,000, is more important to get paid quicker than the little invoice for £300. But the little guy can go bust because the £300 isn't paid.
I want to come over and bring Nick in at this stage, because obviously you've been listening to this about the late payment. I mean, when you're on the calls, I mean, what sort of advice are you sort of passing out to businesses who are coming to you say, look, I can't get my invoices paid? What sort of advice are you giving them, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, Liz has mentioned, yeah, she's been a supporter of Business Deadline for many years, and she knows we've campaigned about late payments for as long as I can remember. I just wanted to add a couple of things from what I've been listening to, because we definitely see this pretty much every day. And like, you know, you think about when we go back to the pandemic, you were mentioning a bit, businesses went through their reserves in 6 months. Most of the people we were speaking to, the very small businesses, they either didn't have reserves or their reserves were gone within a matter of days. Yeah. So, you know, Liz's point of businesses just not being there if they're not being paid on time or being paid quicker, we're hearing that every single day. And the problem that then creates, the knock-on effect, is if, for example, they're taking out personal credit to try and keep their business going, so that puts them and their family potentially at risk. So it's not just a business not being able to borrow, they're taking it credit in their own name. Very often when they don't, you know, it's not their responsibility, but they're doing it anyway. The business owner has to be, you know, if you're a limited company director, you've got to be mindful of wrongful trading. So if you don't get paid, you can't pay your bills, automatically you could be committing an offence by continuing to trade. So you have to be really mindful of these things, and very often the solution is, I just want to be paid for the job that I've done. But then we can give advice on how they can try and pursue that debt, and you know, even to the extent of taking court action. But the big fear factor there is, well, if I take court action against these big organizations, one, am I going to win, and two, they're not going to want to use me again. So
exactly,
it's very difficult.
Exactly, Nick. Refer them to us before, because we can help resolve those disputes between a small business and their bigger customer who has paid them if they have a payment dispute. But the court, you're absolutely right, and part of the worry about even chasing up an unpaid invoice or a late invoice is that they may never use me again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, freelancer, I've been there many times. But we do have to chase up those late payments as quickly as possible to get that money in as quickly as possible to help with that understanding that, come on, you know, actually, this is how a small business works. And if I don't get paid, I won't be here. And you won't have the talent that I'm providing you with in order to make success of your bigger business.
So, James, you want to bring James? Yeah, James, you're keen to join us.
Yeah, just Just to bore down on the debt scenario and how the actual supply chain works, because a lot of the big businesses also don't understand how their suppliers are made up. So if you took a large organization, they'll use a digital marketing agency. That digital marketing agency may use 15 or 20 freelancers. Those freelancers then may actually also outsource what they're doing to support them. So you've got this trickle-down effect. Well, it's not trickle-down economy, but you've got a big company which won't pay the digital agency. The digital agency will hold off paying off the rest of the supply chain until they get paid. So that's where this big bottleneck comes in, is because the whole of the supply chain is waiting on one big company to pay everyone else, effectively. And this is where I think it's failing down, is people don't understand that. And then you've got various other little quirks within that as well. So I just think it's the mindset, and it's, yeah, people will just end up in vast amounts of debt and just fold.
I want to take us towards the relationships with the banks here, because obviously they've got a very key role. Interest rates are on the rise. We've seen that over the last few months. The predictions of where they're going to end up, we sort of hold our breath and just we're guessing at the moment whether the Bank of England will make any intervention before the 23rd of November. I mean, 23rd of November, I mean, how many thousands of small businesses will be gone by then? It's ridiculous, to be perfectly honest. But what is there an issue there with the banks in terms of being involved in this sort of payment culture which currently exists? You know, I mean, Nick, do you actually, I'll come to you in a moment, Liz, but Nick, do you actually sort of provide advice about the sort of narrative they can take to the bank? And you were talking earlier about, look, if you can't plan, you can't go to the bank with a real sort of, even a 13-week cash flow forecast.
Absolutely, yeah. It's absolutely, yeah. We absolutely advise clients how they can go and speak to their lender. Obviously, that changed through the pandemic, because through the pandemic, the lenders did back off. So that was great. There was that understanding. Obviously, post-pandemic, they started to pursue for debt again. But you know, approaching your lender and asking for time and explaining the situation, that is one of the most important things. Is, you know, if you are struggling to pay anybody, go and talk to them and explain to them what the situation is, because most of the time, most people will be understanding and try and work with you. Banks have moved, have shifted. Yeah, their policy is, or tends to be more a bit more understanding and to work with somebody who's struggling to pay debt. But nonetheless, obviously, they still want to know a plan, and they still want to know, okay, so I can give you some time, but that time is going to run out at some point. There is breathing space that people can apply for now, which, you know, does give them some legally protected time. So that's good. We can provide sample letters. We can provide them with all the wording and you know, how to go and talk to their lender. But it's more and more difficult at the moment because, as I say, that's not going to be a finite period of time. It's going to end. So
I'm conscious of trying to bring this conversation to some sort of a concluding point, and I'm going to really bring it back into the agenda for you, Liz, and your conversation with government. I mean, we saw that there's a sense that we're all in this together during the pandemic, and therefore everyone sort of behaved, though there are some horror stories, obviously. It seems as if, you know, well, the markets are driving the current financial crisis in the economy, you know, as we have this conversation at the end of September 2022. But it's like, what should government be doing? They seem to say, well, we've done the energy bit. And they appear to be sitting in their hands and saying, well, you know, we're on a growth plan and, you know, suck it up. Liz, any thoughts on where we should be going?
I can't comment on government policy in any shape or form.
Understood.
I won't do that. But what we're really looking forward to is hearing who the new small business minister will be and talking to the new small business minister about all of these issues that we have been talking about, and really getting to the point where there is probably more understanding across government of the fact that small businesses are such a fundamentally important part of the UK economy. Now, politicians do talk about small businesses being the backbone of the economy, but if the backbone crumbles, the body collapses. Yeah. And I feel that because we lump everybody together, businesses together, as SMEs, it means that nobody really picks out small businesses as being so fundamentally important. So I think with the new small business minister, you know, that will be the kind of conversations that we will be having that say, look, growth is down to small businesses. We therefore need to think about what are the additional policies, apart from help with energy, et cetera, that we put in place. And actually, the whole thing about planning is really, really important. Businesses don't plan on a six-month cycle. They plan on a three-year cycle. The banks want to see the plan for 3 years. The banks themselves, just to bring up that point you were talking about, are very, very keen to work with us now because they themselves realise how important the small businesses are, the freelancers, the sole traders, the micro businesses, as well as their medium-sized clients and their big clients. And they're actually talking to us about how we can get the messages across to the bigger clients too, as to how important their small businesses are, how the supply chains work, as James was talking about. And I think we just need to communicate this much, much more clearly across the board. And we do all need to pull together on this to get the message through, to make sure that the right policies come through to support those small businesses that employ 50% of the workforce of the UK.
Absolutely. Well, point well made, Liz, and obviously the role of the Enterprise Research Centre is we're very much at the core of that conversation as well. And we too await for the appointment of the Small Business Minister within the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. I'm going to come to James and Nick about what your priorities would be. Come to you first, James, you know, in terms of, you know, what's the ask of government now for you?
To make it law to be paid within 30 days. That would instantly make an improvement to growth in the economy. If that was to happen, or even 60, it would make a big difference. And also to actually support micro and small business, actually have some sort of plan in place to help either through grants or some support in some way to help small businesses actually navigate through this. There's nothing at the moment.
Thinking about the message coming out of Treasury yesterday about the spending review, is there won't be a new one, and there will be what you've been allocated, you work with, and there will be a tight management of the budget. So I think from a grant perspective, I would say that's not going to happen. So the largesse we saw during the pandemic is not going to happen. So it's a question of, you know, there's always an animal comes across a podcast. I know this is just an audio podcast, but James's cat has joined the discussion as well. He obviously agrees with the points that you're making. I think it's an issue about, I mean, there has been moves on the legal framework, but clearly they're not strong enough, Liz. I mean, is that you know, you can, I mean, Lord Young has been active in the space for many, many years, and we have had something on the statute, but doesn't seem to have enough teeth.
I think part of the problem is that nobody, it was really interesting yesterday, I was talking to quite a lot of small businesses, and one of them said to me, but we can't negotiate contracts, we have to accept the terms offered to us by a big business. Well, there's a fundamental lack of understanding right at the beginning. Yeah. There are two parties here and you can negotiate a contract. And I think to a certain extent, in light of the fact that legislation takes a long time to come through, we have to try to galvanise the small businesses, the freelancers, sole traders, micro businesses, to push back and negotiate better payment terms and explain how you work as a small business. And why it is fundamentally important that you get paid faster and hopefully within the 14 days. A lot of big businesses come back to us and say, nobody's ever asked us that. Nobody has ever pushed back and said, can you pay us?
They're afraid to.
Yes, we are afraid to. And I think that's why it's so fundamentally important for me to get out there and talk to the big businesses, as well as talking to the small businesses and everybody else in between, to say, look, this is the future of the UK economy here, and we need to all be supporting each other. And if you've got the deeper pockets, you can't make your small suppliers wait. But we have to do that, whether or not legislation is in the pipeline, because legislation takes a long time to come through.
Indeed. Nick, I'm going to give you the final word before we bring our conversation to a conclusion. Nick, thoughts on what to be doing urgently?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been listening intently to what everyone's been saying, and the late payment, I couldn't agree more. If we can get some sort of legislation to assist with that, it would massively help. And again, I couldn't agree more what you were saying about business being frightened to go and negotiate. You know, a lot of the people, as I said, we speak to are, they're sole traders. They're on their own. They don't want to go and negotiate with the big multinationals because they're frightened to do it. Even though they can, they're frightened to do it. But if we can get some sort of help with late payment, that would really help. We're also seeing a big problem with bounce back loans at the moment. I know James mentioned those. We have a lot of people who the payment holiday has ended. The payments are needed now, and they're just struggling to meet them. And there is no, well, we're looking for some sort of consistent, fair, affordable approach to recovery of bounce back loans, which they're just, it seems to be really lacking at the moment.
Okay. Well, look, I think we are past our time, so I just want to, bring this to a conclusion. I think, as we're having this conversation, the volatility, the uncertainty has been ramped up at the end of September. We are looking at increasing costs of doing business for freelancers right through to large businesses as well. We've got at the heart of this an age-old problem of late payment, and culture and education is really very, very crucial to try and get the whole private sector and the public sector talking as one and acting as one to make sure that we actually oil the cash moving through the enterprise economy, which is absolutely crucial. We are moving into potentially a recession, rising interest rates, a housing market, which is going to be in turmoil, leading, as you were saying earlier, Nick, about the issues for builders and contractors. And, that's a sector which is very sensitive in terms of cash flow. So it's not a very encouraging conversation we've had today, perhaps not a very positive one. But I think what this podcast does serve and to do is perhaps provide a bit of a listen from those people who need to understand a bit more about what the issues are. And I think from our small business commissioner through to James running of small business at this time, and to Nick, who is having to listen to the heart-wrenching stories, I would imagine, from the backbone of our economy, as you've said, Liz, it's really quite, it's a salutary conversation that people need to listen to, and hopefully government will be paying attention to this and not just thinking that they've solved the cost of doing business by throwing money at the energy issue. It's only one small part of it. So thanks to all of you who've been listening today to this podcast. If you want to know more about the Business Deadline, they go to their website, which is www.businessdeadline.org. And again, if there's a number of podcasts that we have in the bank, this is number 12 in our Enterprise Research Centre series. And indeed, our website, which is enterpriseresearch.ac.uk, has a host of information on reports and activities, all in a very accessible way. We touched on the issue of mental health today, and we have a major piece of research, which you'll find on our website as well. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks to our guest today.